You know, another story just to share. Sue and Derek, who have been with us for a few weeks, just came and she just shared how God had provided for them a miraculous to be here in Aylsham. They moved into one of the care houses and been with us for a few weeks from Dereham. And they said, we weren't on any lists. We didn't have any reason for anyone to move us, but God got us here. And it's great to have you with us and part of our fellowship here as well. And if you're visiting with us from near or from far, it's great to have you with us as well. We've been going through a series on prayer, but Simon wrapped that series up last week, and as I looked on the preaching rota, it just said, Christmas Part 1. So I said to him, okay, what's the plan? And he said, I haven't got one, and I couldn't come up with one, so I just gave it a title and thought you could sort that out. So we're going to have a look at Christmas Part 1. An elderly widow decided it was too much trouble to get all of her kids and grandkids Christmas presents, so she decided to send them a check in a card instead, just a check with an amount on it. A few days after she mailed all the cards, she discovered, to her horror, that she'd forgotten to put the checks in the envelopes. Imagine all those kids opening a card from Grandma with a note inside that says, I didn't know what to get you, so thought you could just buy your own presents this year. I've always got to get the first joke in at Christmas. We've got a PowerPoint presentation which is just full of amazing words. Well, there's a few on it. And I wonder, how are we preparing for Christmas? Now, I know around our house that most of the preparation for Christmas, in fact, probably 99.999 repeating percent of it, is down to the most beautiful woman in the world, my wife. And she now will not speak to me for another 2 days. She sorts out the presents and the food and who's coming for the meals and all these sorts of things, and she just tells me. And it ends up in my diary, and then we check our diary a week later and find out I've written them down in the wrong place and forgotten. Anyways, but preparation for Christmas is something that all of us are probably in the midst of one way or another. Christmas lists. Who's going to be coming? How are we going to see the family? Which day are we going to see the family? Who's going to get what? Who do we need to buy presents for this year that we didn't last year? Who sent us a card last year that we didn't send last year that we need to remember to try and send one to this year? Am I going to send cards, or am I going to send emails, or am I going to tweet them, Twitter them, or whatever, Facebook them? What am I going to do? I thought it was so funny listening to the news the other night, and there's a campaign for the restoring of sending of Christmas cards. Okay? For the restoration of sending Christmas cards. Because it's become very much more electronic. Guess who is heading up and one of the chief groups who want this to happen? Royal Mail. Surprise, surprise. You know, send my email, gone. No one costs me virtually nothing. Royal Mail doesn't get anything out of it. So there's this big campaign for that's happening. But I wonder how much, and I'm going to talk to myself as much as to you, do we actually prepare our hearts for Christmas? And it might be sort of the message we hear the day before or even the days after, and we can come with a bit of condemnation and guilt and get a bit worried, a bit down on ourselves that we just got through the Christmas season again and haven't really done much more than we did the year before about what Christmas is about. And so I thought, well, 1st of December, let's have a bit of a think about 25 days and counting. For us as teachers, it's a few days earlier that we're actually counting. And I'm not actually counting to the last day of term. I'm counting to the second last day of term because that's when the Christmas play will be finished. Ah! And it'll be done. And all the little sheep and all the little angels, well, some of them are little angels for a few moments, will have done their bits, and someone will have cried, and somebody will have forgotten their line, and then I'll have some parents in complaining because their little Johnny didn't have a big enough part in the play this year. But life is like that. But I just wonder, could we have the next slide? Isaiah 43 says, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. How can we prepare the way for our Lord? Was this just an Old Testament prophecy that then was kind of fulfilled a bit by John the Baptist? Or is this something we can grab a hold of and be thinking about? How are we preparing the way for Jesus? How are we preparing? These words were fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. They were not taking a construct, and they're, sorry, got my little bit tongue-tied myself this way. But it's not just a project, but it's a preparation of the heart to welcome the Lord Jesus. You know, it's really about welcoming Him. It's about thanking Him. It's about being excited about Him. It's about stirring up some passions that get covered over by the tinsel and the presents and the tree and the lights and all those sorts of things. And I haven't got any major problems with those. I'm not totally bah humbug about those things. But we went to the Range the other week, a big shop on the edge of Norwich if you've never been to it. And it kind of sells everything under one big roof. And as I walked in, I would say a third of the shop had transformed itself from when I was there a couple months ago to just selling stuff about Christmas. There was everything you could possibly want or find in there. And I wandered up and down the aisles in there for probably, I would suspect, about 25 minutes while Chris was off getting important things. And I was just wandering and looking. I didn't find one nativity, one star, one card that had a manger scene on it. I found absolutely nothing that if I wanted a traditional Christmas impact, there wasn't one thing. And I thought, we're in a wilderness. We're living in a desert. And yet this says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Do you know that if we don't say anything about Jesus, and this Christmas time, nobody else will? Because Christmas can quite happily happen outside of our homes and even in our homes, and quite happily and quite successfully happen without Jesus. Can. You know, the shops will be happy if they've sold lots of presents and their sales have gone up from last year. The little shops will be happy because they haven't closed, because this might be their last chance of actually making enough money to survive another economic year. The biggest thing on the news recently was the house that won the prize for the most Christmas lights outside. It cost them £1,200 every week to run their lights. And they've got something like 1.2 million lights now on their property. And I looked at it and I went, ooh, not my sort of thing. But there we go. This morning I want to apply this call to our need to prepare our hearts for Christmas. This morning I want to offer you some ways we can prepare our hearts for Christmas. Four ways we can do that. Here they come. And one more. Become a child again. Become a child again. If you think about Christmas, and you're think about children, they are absolutely awestruck by it. They want everything to be at their level. They're thinking about the presents and the tree and Father Christmas and the plays at school and all the bits and pieces that go into making it for them. They're excited about it. For me, it's a lot of hard work. And other people in my family would say, well, it's even harder work for them. But for a child, it's just all out there. It's that big-eyed approach to Christmas. It's, wow, what can happen this year? Can I go to this play? Can we go to that pantomime? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we go see? Can we have? Can I? And it's just everywhere. kids in my class at school, they're already coming in buzzing about what's going to happen and what they want. And you only have to say the word Christmas and bang, you got their attention like that. If I say literacy and it's ooh. If it's mass, it's ooh. If it's science, it's not too bad. And if it's DT, it's great. And if I got my guitar out, we can rock and roll. It's great. But you just say, Christmas. Sitting up, listening, what's he going to talk about? What's going to happen? You know, the Bible talks about us and children. In Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, Jesus reminds his disciples that unless we become like little children, we cannot enter. We cannot enter. And one of the things about Christmas is it can be so exciting. Because there's an anticipation of something happening. We need to get excited about what has happened, is happening, and is yet to happen. And they all focus on the most amazing, eye-catching, exciting thing, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Pete put something on his Facebook this week about someone who became a Christian. And they just wrote about why they're so excited about telling other people about Jesus. And basically, it boiled down to that they'd found in Jesus the most amazing, life-changing, and history-changing, and future-changing experience that they could ever encounter. And because of that, they wanted other people to find that Jesus. They were like a little child with a new toy. I want you to see my toy. I want you to play with my toy. I want you to enjoy my toy. Don't you dare break my toy. Don't you get upset with my toy. Don't you say anything bad about my toy, because this is the most amazing thing that there ever was and ever will be. Even though in a couple weeks' time, the batteries will have gone dead and it'll be broken and back in the box and probably returned to Amazon and you'll see, you'll never see it again. But like little children, I become a child again. I get excited like a child again. Christmas is for kids. I often hear people say, it's just for kids. I'm too old for Christmas. Since when are we too old for Jesus? Let's think about what we say. You know, Christmas is for the kids. I'm a bit old for Christmas. It's not a Christian statement. It's not at the heart of who we are as a people of God. We've just sat here and worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and asked Him to impact our lives. When am I too old for that? Never. Never am I too old to be excited like a little child about my Jesus. You know, I'm a shy, introverted, quiet type of person, as you can tell. You know, I never get excited about things or overexcited about things. And I have my emotional highs and my emotional lows. My wife is going, yeah. But I'll tell you, it takes a lot to turn off my excitement about Jesus. I like to be like a little child. I want more. More, please. How dare you ask for more? Because He asks us to. You come as a little child. You put away those mature approaches to Jesus. And just come like a child and jump into His lap and enjoy Him. You know, grace allows us to do that. Come with a confidence, a boldness, an audacity before the throne room of God. Why? Because His grace has made us children of God. How exciting is that? How powerful is that? And as a little child, we can come. Nicodemus was a man of standing. He was known, he had a good job. He wasn't liked very much, but he had a good job. He had a big house and everything. And what does Jesus say? Unless you become like a little child and are born again. How do you do that? How do you become like a little child? You begin to think, not childish, but childlike, about what's really important. What's really important? The other evening, we were babysitting for our granddaughter, and just one of those wonderful times. I can remember a few weeks ago when they first asked me to look after while they were running the youth club in North Walsham. And there I was with this beautiful baby, just me and her for 2 hours. You know, that's about as close to heaven as I'm going to get, this side of heaven. And she fell asleep in my arms and she just slept like a baby. Well, that's strange, isn't it? And it was wonderful. There was her cot. I could have easily popped her into her cot, but oh no. She's just there. And you could feel the warmth of her face. So Friday night, Chris and I were over in North Walsham, and for the first time, we looked after in their home while they were away. You know? And here's this little child. What does she want? She just wants attention and love. There's all these toys and all these things around and everything that you could buy for. But what did she want when she was getting a bit tired and a bit grizzly? She just wanted held. Why? Because she's a little child. This Christmas, how much do you want to be held and just loved by the Savior of the world? I quoted earlier, for God so loved. He adopted us into his family, made us his children of God. How about this Christmas we become like a little child? See, there's two things a little child does. One is they're totally dependent. You know, if you've held a baby, you know, the Dawson's over here. How dependent is that little one on you? Totally and utterly. Every mouthful needs to be provided. Every nappy needs to be changed. Every burp needs to be cleaned up. Every needs to be sorted out. Every squeak and scream and cry needs to be looked after by you. And it's exhausting, isn't it? It's unrelenting. It just goes on and on. But you see, a little child is like that. Now, obviously, we want children to grow up and become a little bit more mature. You know, once they're 21, you don't really want them to be quite that dependent. But, you know, when do we ever become so mature that we're not totally dependent on our Father? When do we ever move away from that dependence? The moment we start moving away from that dependence on our Father, totally dependent on Him, is the moment we've missed the point. You know, Jesus came as a little baby. As a little baby. A tiny, totally dependent little baby. Why? To model something to us about the dependence that we have to have. And second, I've already talked about it a bit, but the wonder of a child. Just that big-eyed wonder. You know, you tell them the story of Jonah and the whale. Whoa! Really? Wow! You tell them the story of Noah and the flood. Oh, amazing! Who watched any of the Bible series that started this week? Okay, how many of you recorded it and are going to watch it? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? Okay? This week on television, they started the series called The Bible. It looks really good. It looks really good. If you haven't started set to record, set it to it. Look it up on iPlayer or 5 Player or whatever channel it's on. And it's probably worth a good watch. But you know, kids will watch that and go, whoa, amazing. The God of all the universe, of time and of space, of everything that's been, is, and ever will be, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the almighty God, placed himself into a baby in a manger in a little village in the middle of nowhere. Because he loved a sinful world. I want to be a little child in wonder and awe of that. I want to be a little child like that. Wow. My goodness. My God, thank you. This is the wonder of Christmas. Let's become like little children. Let's be wondering. Not in the sense of I don't know, but I do know. And I'm never going to lose that. Christmas isn't just another day. It is a day of wonder and awe. It is a day when shepherds heard angels proclaiming the wonder and awe of a child in a manger. It is a time when the wisest of men of those days traveled for probably over a year to seek out one that they would then worship. And as little children, they bowed before a child who is maybe a year, year and a half old. Does not make human sense. But wow. Let's be like little children. Second point. Let's discover the blessing of giving. Now, unlike children, who usually do not make a list of what they're going to give, but do love to make lists of what they're going to receive or would like to, which is often very different than the list that we've made that we're going to give. But as adults, we often come up with a list of what we're going to give. Well, there's Auntie May, and there's Uncle Bob, and then there's the three cousins, and oh, do we give to cousins anymore? I'm not sure if we do. You know, and then there's those that are kind of part of the family but aren't really part of the family, and then last year they gave me a present that was probably worth about 10 quid. So I need to find them. And if George, sorry if your name is George, any Georges here? Any Georges here? No? Good. I picked a good name. Last year, I spent 15 quid on George, and I saw what he gave me in Poundland. Just doesn't work. We need to rediscover the blessing of giving. See, Christmas is about giving. God gave his son. God gave his grace. God gave his love. God gave his mercy. God gives joy and peace. All these things he gives to us through Jesus. And we need to rediscover the blessing of giving. In Acts 20:35, we read, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the Apostle Paul is saying his last goodbye to some dear friends from the church in Ephesus. And he wants to leave them with some words to help them stay faithful to God, to help them to enjoy the blessings that God has for them. And amidst everything else, he quotes the words of Jesus himself. Words that are found nowhere else in the Gospels, are not recorded anywhere else. We don't know if Jesus said them directly to him or he said them to someone else. But he quotes Jesus. And because we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, Jesus did say these words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder if we can prepare our hearts to be extremely generous this year. Now, I'm not saying, Ed, that you have to buy a huger present for your wife, although she'll probably appreciate that. Or that, Keith, you've got to really get it right this year. Yeah? Jill's going, yeah, he does. Yeah. Sorted, is it? Already got that one sorted. But you know, as a Christian, my giving is not actually very Christian if I only give to those who I love or give to me. Because I've read, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who do evil against you. At what point did God give his son to us because we deserved it or because we were being nice to him? I wonder. And I have to ask myself, how generous am I? I'm going to ask a question here. Please don't put your hand up unless you really want to. But who of you have been blessed financially this year? Go on, if you want to put your hand up, you can do that. Who's been blessed financially? You actually think something's happened this year that's put me in a better place than I was this time last year. Yeah? Okay. Have you thought about being overly, overtly generous to someone just because of that? Have you thought of, I bumped into someone. They were saying, oh, we're really struggling at the moment. Christmas really. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Here's 500 quid. Oh my goodness. Go and let Christmas be a lot of fun for your family. Or here's a check. You know? You never bought me a present last year. You shouldn't have. There was no reason to. But I'm just going to bless you. Maybe it's just ding dong and gone. They ring the door, and there it is. You know, please don't leave your laundry or the dog that you really don't like. But how about being super generous this year? How about doing something out of the ordinary that speaks of a generous God dwelling within me, and that it's better to give than to receive? How about this year, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Hang on. Can I hide? How about this year I decide that actually I'm going to sort out my giving to the church? Because it struck me, and I'm looking up there because I don't want to catch anybody's eye right now. Do you know, it struck me that for many of us, and me included, it's easier for me to believe that the God of the universe can forgive my sins for an eternity and wants to dwell with me, to dwell with him forever, than to actually believe that if I give generously, he will give back financially generously. Not for my own benefit, but for the kingdom. And that just doesn't make sense. That I can believe my sins can be forgiven. Just, you know, word like that. How many of you believe that God has forgiven you your sins? Hands up. That you will spend an eternity with him. That he loves you. Wow! You know, there is no bigger thing than that. But yet we struggle with, there's my month, there's my money. Sorry, kingdom's not going to get much this year. Doesn't have to be at the church. Maybe it's someone else. Let's rediscover the blessing of giving. How about that on January the 1st, 2014, we proved ourselves to be the most generous group of people in Aylsham and surrounding area? You know what? We should be. We should be. We should be. And not so somebody comes and pats us on the back, but because that's what God has called us to be, a generous people. Number three, how are we doing? Not too bad. How about turn the lights on? Say what? Well, we just had lighting up in Aylsham. How many were there? Okay. I saw your Facebook message, Ben. Is your house now lit up? Uh-huh. It is. Brilliant. Good. How many have got some Christmas lights or things out in your house yet? A few of you do. Yeah? Brilliant. Is that at home or where you're staying now, Ken? Where you're staying now. And, you know, we haven't got that far yet. Yet. I'm hoping that my son will decide, well, no one else is going to do it, I better. Makes it a lot easier for us. But turning the lights on. The Lord Jesus called himself the light of the world. And that light has come to shine into the darkness. And we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. No one is going to turn the lights on this Christmas about Jesus if it's not us. Are you excited about Jesus? Are you living that excitement out? Are you more excited about the truth of Jesus impacting people's lives, or the present that you'll open on Christmas morning? I'm not saying don't be excited about that. What I am saying is, are you excited about what Jesus has done for you? Are you letting people know that? Do you want them to celebrate Christmas in the way that they have never been able to celebrate it before? I'm going to ask a question here. Anyone become a Christian in this room since last Christmas? Is there anyone here who wasn't a Christian last Christmas? No hands. Oh, I hope that's different next Christmas. I really hope that's next Christmas. And let's not get under condemnation or guilt. Let's just live Jesus and let light out. Let's not let this city be set on a hill, hidden away. Let's get the bucket off. Let's get the barrel off. Let's get the message out there. Let's turn the lights on. When? Let's start today. Let's start tomorrow. There are people who are living in a great darkness who need to see a great light. Simon quoted that this morning as we were praying. There was that passage, wasn't it? Just as we were praying, and I just thought, yeah, The people in great darkness have seen a great light. Oh, Jesus, will you let them see that great light through me? People I work with, the people that live nearby, the people that I bump into, the people I have acquaintance with who have not seen this great light. Come on, let's turn the lights on. Let's outshine this house that costs so much to light every year. We've got a greater message and a bigger light. How many of you heard about this comet that was supposed to be this amazing comet that was going to light up our skies? And yet, it went behind the sun and it melted. Gone. You know, fizzled. You know, that's the power of the sun. The light that we attribute all life on earth to. Actually, there's a greater light that we can attribute all life on earth to. And that's Jesus, the light of the world. Let's turn the lights on. Let your light, in Matthew 5:16, so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Oh, let's turn our lights on. And finally, let's seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Let's seek first the kingdom of God. Can I ask you just for a moment? A simple thing. But yet it might be profound. Can you identify three ways you can prepare yourself for Christmas that don't include turkeys, trees, and wrapping paper? What's three ways that you can make a decision even this morning? Ooh, he wants me to apply this. Tricky. What can you do? What can we do? What could you do this morning? Could you bless someone this morning before they even walk out the door that'll make their Christmas different? Can you plan to let your light shine? Can you decide to become like a little child and so excited about the wonder of Christmas that everybody gets caught up in it that bumps into you? Can you decide, you know what, I'm going to be super generous. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to bless someone's socks off. I'm going to meet someone's need. I'm going to be there for them. Just three simple things. Think about it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The wise men set out at some point, probably long before the birth, and they were just that. They were wise, seeking what was illuminated by the star. No tree, no tinsel, no mulled wine, no Santas, sorry Cameron, no Rudolph the red-nosed reindeers. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, wait till he comes up to lead worship again. No sleighs. Just the wonder and the awe of a baby that would change the history of the world. Let's get captivated by that. I want you to listen to a song and just make it a prayer. And then we're actually going to end there as I'm going to pray for you at the end of this song.